Hey there, podcast fam. Welcome to Sisters Say It All, the podcast where we spill the tea, share the laughs, and explore all topics that make life awesome and not so awesome. With us, anything goes. We are your favorite sister duo, Sophie Eckerhold and Stephanie Houghton, who have no boundaries when it comes to discussing everything under the sun. Think of us as your go-to pals, ready to chat, laugh, and sometimes cry. So, let's get started, friends. Welcome to Sisters Say It All.
Alrighty, hello everyone. Welcome. We're so excited to be here tonight. Well, because we're recording tonight and we have a very special guest on today who's also a great friend of mine, Lottie DL. She is the brains behind Banish. So a little bit about her. She's not just the founder, but she's also got some serious accolades to her name, like making it to Forbes 30 Under 30 in 2023 and snagging title of New South Wales Young Australian of the Year for the same year.
I know. What a resume, Lottie. My goodness.
I know. And all at such a young age.
Yes.
So basically, we're here to talk about Banish today. So for those that don't, who are living under a rock and don't know Banish. Lottie, can you give us sort of a little bit of a lowdown on what Banish is all about and what inspired you to start?
Yeah, no worries. Thank you both so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you guys today. So pretty much the reason why I started Banish was just over 6 years ago. I was that person who wanted to do something for the planet. I knew that there was so much more that I could be doing as an individual. And I set a really ambitious, well, a lot of New Year's resolutions, as I feel like everybody does, which was like to become fluent in Spanish, to run half a marathon, to like do all of these things that didn't actually happen. But one of them was to do better when it came to the planet. It wasn't tangible. There was no SMART goal. I just knew that as an individual, I could be doing more. It was back in the times where we were starting to see like turtles with straws up their noses and seabirds with plastics in their stomach. And they were really disheartening. And I kind of would finish reading those articles feeling pretty upset, but there was no one out there who was just kind of turning around and being like, yes, this is really annoying and really terrible that's happening, but here's how you can do something about it. Yes. There was lots of information for individuals that had been doing it forever and ever, who had been born and bred that way, who were living off the grid. But for somebody who was in their kind of like early 20s, who wanted to do something but was still going to realistically drive their car, but was still realistically go to consume plastic, but just wanted to reduce their own consumption. So when I couldn't find the solution, I just created it.
Good,
which I don't know if I would do it again. Undertaking, but it is, that's kind of how I fell into it. I always knew that I wanted to help people. Originally, I thought that was more in like the health and fitness context. I was a journalist at the time working in women's health. And then I kind of thought, okay, let's translate these skills that I've got into sustainability.
Yeah, good on you. And like, what a difference you've made as well already. Something you should be so proud of.
When you said that you were trying to find something for you as an individual that kind of didn't come from a background of, you know, sustainability, or like you still drive your car, it's so true. And I think we all, as humans, we all want to, you know, do better and learn how we can do better. But when you can't find those resources out there, then it kind of just like, oh, you forget about it. You just continue on with your everyday life. So for you to persevere and create this is just extremely inspiring. And I'm sure there's been a lot of challenges along the way. And I guess what, if you could share with us, what are some challenges that you have faced building and growing Banish, and any valuable lessons that you've learnt along the way?
Yeah, I think just firstly, before I answer that question, off the back of what you just mentioned there, I think similar, like, so if you'd know this with fitness, for example, it's like always like an all or nothing approach.
Yes.
And I feel like sustainability needs to be the same. It can't, it doesn't need to be all or nothing. It's like build those habits up, make small changes. Yes, you're going to fall off the bandwagon, but just jump back on and it's going to be okay. You don't have to be perfect in order to still see those results.
But
I think
really
that's something that's really important for people to know.
You're so right. Back to, on the topic of fitness, I did a challenge when I was about 8 months postpartum, and it was the same thing. I think naturally when you do fall off the bandwagon, you're like, oh, and then you kind of give up because
– so easy to.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, I did had one bad day. There's no point. I've stuffed it all up. It's what you can do to get back on, or just, you know, taking the next day as a new day and you start again, even if you have to start again 101 times. It's just – progressing and moving forward with that. So amazing. But sorry, I will let you answer the question.
Sorry. Can you tell that I'm used to being the one that asks the questions?
Yes, so I know, because Lottie is a very, very good listener, which is amazing.
So when it comes to challenges that we've faced, I just think in general growing a brand is really difficult. Mm. And as somebody explained it to me really well actually yesterday, and they were like, it's kind of like you get to the next step. And when you're at that next step, when you're kind of climbing, say, for example, a hypothetical set of stairs, you're like, great, this is perfect. I've onboarded the right number of staff. I'm growing. This is really good. And then it gets to the point where that step is no longer good for you and you need to get to the next one. And how do you do that? And how do you scale and you grow? And as you climb that next rung in the ladder or step, it presents a whole new set of challenges. So I think somebody coming from somebody who's not a business background, coming from a journalism background to then running businesses, it's been a definite challenge and there's been a lot of learnings. But I think because I don't come from a business background, it also has benefited me in a lot of ways because I can probably see things from a different perspective than a lot of other people do. And I think probably sometimes my passion gets to win over actual better judgment and good business sense. But that's all great. I think probably one of the biggest challenges, though, would have to be the recycling program, Brad, that we're running. So Brad is the Banish Recycling and Disposal Program that recycles hard-to-recycle household items like blister packs, beauty products, coffee pods, pumps and sprays off shampoo bottles or cleaning products. People literally post them to us in the mail.
Yeah.
I started the program 3 years ago off the back of a personal desire again to, because I was doing everything. I was practicing what I was preaching. I was reducing my waste as much as possible. But at the end of the month, there were still things in my garbage bin at home. And I'd look at them, things like blister packs, and I'd see aluminium and a clear plastic. And I was like, well, I know that's got resources. I'd look at beauty products and I'd go, well, there's so many like amazing materials in there. Why are these going to landfill? Why aren't they being recycled? Yeah, so it was a way to give back to the Banish consumer or the Banish customer at the time. I thought, why not offer them this service so they could send us their hard to recycle items? In exchange, we would provide them with a $15 voucher. So we were all about incentivizing behavior change. So kind of like, send us the pumps and sprays off your shampoo bottles and buy a shampoo bar. Send us your plastic toothbrushes, buy a bamboo toothbrush. Because for some people, it's scary swapping over. Of course. If you've given $15 off, then you might go, okay, well, maybe I will just give that a bit of a chance right now.
Money can make us do anything.
Cozy living.
All that inflation.
So that was how the program started.
Yeah.
It grew really significantly within the first 2 months. We had over 200 people participating in the program.
Wow.
And I just kind of was waiting for it to decrease. And I was waiting for there to be less people that were participating. Never happened.
Oh,
it got
great.
To the point where we were sorting in my backyard at the time. Then we moved to a self-storage unit because my roommates at the time were like, okay, this is a bit much having complete strangers coming over to our house on the weekend to sort through rubbish. But then we were in like the fire escape of the self-storage unit. We've now got a space at Central Station.
That's what I was just about to ask. You've got that beautiful space there.
So we've got 200 volunteers who come in every month and help us with the program. And then we have about 25,000 Australians participating in the program. So it's so exciting.
That is so
exciting. It's just like a beast. But with all of these pros and like it being amazing, is also like the amount of heating and the growing pains and doing something that nobody is doing has done before. There's often a reason why nobody has done it before because it's really difficult and it's really hard. And not only are that we've been Yeah. And not only are we then not just managing like the staff that we've got, we're also then managing 200 volunteers. And if people don't show up, then that's going to reduce our capacity to help sort through this waste. And then we need to rely on our partners. And are they going to be able to grow and scale as we grow and scale? There's just a whole new set of challenges.
Oh, absolutely. That question for you would be what you were just going off talking about. How would you say you prioritize your self-care and maintain a balance between work and your personal life, which is sort of, you know, with obviously having your growing business as well?
Yeah, look, to be honest, I don't think I'm somebody who can really talk about balance. I'm not really that good at it
at
all.
Are any of us though?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I feel like you are. You're always so level-headed and never seem stressed or anything like that. Whenever I'm with you,
it's amazing. It's a facade.
Yeah,
you do very well. I don't really get that stressed, but there's always a lot on. And I feel like I'm very fortunate that all of the girlfriends that I had when I started Banish are still there, even though I'm now a very different person running my own business, vegetarian now. I'm obviously much more waste conscious. Having all of them around me has been great. My family is extremely supportive. Josh is extremely supportive.
As I was going to say, you've obviously got supportive people that would follow that lifestyle as well. Otherwise, it would be a lot harder.
Exactly. But I don't think, like, just because I've been on this journey doesn't mean that all of my friends consume all that differently. But I think that's the whole point about Banish, is it's approachable. And it's when I am with friends and they forget their reusable coffee cup and we're going for a cup of coffee, I'm like, come on, you could have done better.
That's so good. And you're just making them be better as well, because it would make me think differently as well. I'd be like, oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But in terms of the balance, for me, I think my mornings are really important. That's something where I just have to do something for me. Normally it is something to do with the ocean, whether that's walking by it, swimming in it,
and you're
surfing
like swimming
in it
every morning or something, aren't you? She surfs. Yeah. She's like a lifeguard down at Bronte.
Good. Yeah, I love it.
I know. So good.
Yeah. So I think for me, that's probably the biggest thing. Food prep is a lifesaver, like all of these little things. But I also think having a very type A personality, it's scheduling, catching up with friends. Like I'm part of a book club. For me, that has been a game changer, because it not only forces me to read books that I wouldn't normally read, but it means that I'm catching up with my girlfriends at least once a month, and we're having that regular catch up. And I don't think, knowing all of our schedules and our crazy lives, we'd probably do that otherwise.
Yeah.
So I think it's all of these little things that kind of add up to it. And it doesn't sound that fun to be like, yeah, we have organized scheduled catch-ups, but it does make a really big difference.
God, and you have to these days. Like, I have to do the same. Steph has to do the same. I mean, when we go away with our coast crew, it's the same, right? It's a scheduled catch up. It's just
everyone's
life.
Busy, right? It's just life. And I think it's just something that happens as you get older and you have different priorities
and work and business and everything
like that. Yeah. And I mean, you have so many exciting things going on, Lottie. This is incredible. Do you have any exciting developments or plans? Or sorry, does Banish have any exciting developments or plans for the future? Any upcoming projects that you want to share that you're really excited about? We'd love to hear them. If you can share, or what you can share.
Can share a couple. Can't share all of them. We're about to announce, well, by the time this podcast goes live, we'll have announced that we're launching two new waste streams that we're accepting with the BRAD program. So that is old sunglasses and reading glasses, and also wine corks. So those are two new streams.
Has a lot of them.
Yes, I do have a lot of wine corks. Definitely.
Mostly from the Champagne.
Ah, okay, from the Champagne.
Yeah,
well, champagne. Oh, I love that word.
Yeah,
most of the wine these days is like your screw top.
That's true.
Well, maybe that's just the stuff that I'm drinking.
No. You're right. It is screw top. Yes.
But yeah, so that's really exciting. From a personal perspective, I'm joining the federal government in promoting helping young people reduce vaping. That's something that I'm really passionate about. So
good on you.
Really looking forward to that. And then just in general, just my main aim with Banish and all the work that I'm doing is just to really chat to as many people as possible about how they can do something rather than just doing nothing at all. So that is pretty much what fills my days.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that? If you were to, if someone was to come to you and say, what can I do as someone who doesn't come from a background or knows nothing about sustainability or it all seems too overwhelming, what would you say to them?
Like even just the simplest thing to start doing to change.
It's really hard because we all live such different lifestyles. So I don't want to kind of be like, this is the one thing that every single Australian needs to do. But I think what you can do is just look at your purchasing behaviors and ultimately make the next purchasing choice that you make one that considers the planet. It doesn't have to be just for the planet, but it could just include it in the decision-making matrix when you're thinking about the price, when you're thinking about the cost per wear, when you're thinking about who made it, when you're it could be anything. It could be when it comes to fashion, making something that's more sustainable. It could be when it comes to beauty, looking at something that's cruelty-free. It doesn't have to be perfect, but just at least thinking and considering the planet in that process, I think would be something that I would recommend everybody do. But I also think the best purchase that anybody can make or the best piece of clothing that anybody can buy is the one that's already in your wardrobe. It's just about looking at what you already own and you already consume. Or like you guys are sisters, like do you need to buy a dress for a wedding on the weekend or can you just borrow it? It's that's all of these really simple things. It's just kind of going.
Anyway, what are you talking about?
I do that because I'm like, I don't have time or I can be bothered.
But this is asking Soph, it's not stealing.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to actually steal from you.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's so true.
Being more conscious, right? It's being more conscious with the decisions you're making and like you're saying, the things that you're buying. And it's so true. I never even thought of it like that.
And what about too, like just say, you know, where would you see us in say, and this might be a silly question, in 20 years from now, if we weren't doing anything or we weren't worrying about the environment.
Or even continuing the way we are going. I mean,
like what could you see happening basically?
That's a pretty sad question to ask.
I know. And sorry. I'm just curious to know, like, if we weren't doing
but
anything.
I mean, maybe it's the wake. Someone might listen and be like, oh, shit. You know, maybe
it's something that honestly I don't really focus on the negatives because it puts me into that despair and because it's – I'm fortunate that I work in this every day and I get to hear the amazing stories and hear everything that positive that's going on. But I think – right now, we're not tracking to hit the targets that anyone in the world has set, but in particular, Australia as a country is falling behind, not only in our use of renewable energy, but and our reliance on fossil fuels, but just in general, Australians are the second largest consumer of textiles in the world. Like, why are we the second largest consumer of textiles?
Like, I'm shocked.
Exactly. And it's because we've got this churn and burn mentality. We've got this, we don't have an appreciation for goods and for clothing like other countries do. If you look at kind of the French culture, for example, it's all about quality. It's all about using something over and over again. It's all about self-expression. Whereas I feel like, in my opinion, in Australia, we're very quick to jump on a trend. We're very quick to purchase something that is very inexpensive. But when you think about the price of a t-shirt, if it's costing less than $20, there's a very high chance, if you think about the wages that have gone into that, the production and the materials that have gone into that, the shipping of that product to you, the packaging that it came in as well, like what's left over to pay the person who made that garment? And I think that's what comes into it as well. It's not just the environmental impacts, but it's also the inequity of what's going on too. So I don't want to scare everybody into not doing anything. I really want to be able to teach people that it is approachable and achievable, and just by doing something, you're making a really big impact.
Absolutely.
Even though it can just feel like you're not. Totally. Like one of the examples I give is when you use a reusable coffee cup at a cafe, you're not only saving one cup from landfill, you're also inspiring everybody else in that line to remember their reusable cup next time.
That's so
and
true.
It's all of these little things that you don't think about. And it's difficult because when you reduce your waste and you live more sustainably, you don't really have anything to show for it. You have less waste that goes in your rubbish bin. But apart from that, it's not like you get these feel-good endorphins every time you don't use something.
Yes.
So it's a really tricky one to psychologically help people with.
Yeah, to make that start bringing a reusable coffee.
I mean, I'm pretty bad. I just take these in my car. I mean, no, it's not bad because I'm not buying, you know.
But then they're spilling everywhere and making a mess and there's like empty tea bags in the car.
Oh, he hates me because this literally, I just take my tea cups in.
But you don't buy much coffee tea.
I try not to. I definitely try
But
not
I'm going
to
make that change tomorrow when I go get a coffee. And like I've got them, but I mean, usually I have a coffee at home, but you know, sometimes I'll go through drive-through Macca's. So obviously... Yeah, and some places don't take them. Is that right? Because they of the cleanliness. Yeah. Like would Macca's drive-through take them?
Yeah, so they'll take them. I normally, if I'm going to Macca's, I normally would just walk in the front door. I just find it a little bit easier. Yeah. But generally, like I haven't been turned down yet. I've gone to the extent where now I take my own like lunchbox when I go and get takeaway food. So I'm like, hey, can you put my sushi in this, or can you put my Vietnamese salad in this? And like, obviously, it's clean. Like, it'd be different if you're like, here's my scungy old mug that's filled with yesterday's coffee. Can you please wash and sterilize it?
Yeah.
But I think as long as you approach it in a manner that is friendly and you're just, people are going to relate to you, they're going to understand what you're doing. And also for these businesses, they're saving money because they're not providing you with the single use plastics or containers that cost them as an organization money. So it's a really big win-win for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. What about a favorite Banish product? Do you have one?
This is a good question. I feel like it changes every week as we're onboarding new suppliers or brands, or I'm using products more than the other. I think it's an old one, but it's one that I do love. And that would be the reusable baking mats, because baking paper, even though it's got the word paper in it, can't actually be recycled. So these are a reusable alternative. And I've had the same set of two for like 3 years now. So not only am I saving money.
I use baking paper nearly every day when I put things in the oven. I put it down on baking paper.
Oh my God, we're getting them. Definitely.
Yeah. So handy. Okay, cool. And just like one of these things that you don't think about until you are like, oh my gosh, there's a solution out there for me.
And then you just wash them and use them again.
Oh, mum would utilize that all the time.
Yeah, she would love them.
Yeah, and even like Callie and I work, I mean, we don't actually use baking paper that much. We're using the air fryer a little bit. But yeah, they're just good to have. Okay, so baking mats.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Gosh, you are just a wealth of knowledge. I feel like I've learned so much from speaking
and
to
like
you.
I've known Lottie for a while and we obviously talk about this and I've always thought what you do is amazing, but just, you know, sometimes you need to hear it a few times. Like I'm actually, you know, going to take my
and just actually sitting
coffee.
Here now and really zipping it and listening to your story and your why and the passion. I can see the passion is there in some. Yeah. What advice would you give to any entrepreneurs or anyone that's wanting to start a business, especially those that are really, you know, looking to make an impact in the world, a positive impact?
I think my biggest piece of advice to young business owners or entrepreneurs wanting to do something is just to do it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I think there's so many people out there who are sitting on a business idea. They've been mulling over it for a while. And I think Banish is my fifth business. Before that, I had so many other, I wouldn't call them failures, I'd call them learnings. Yeah. But I think it's what meant that I started Banish within 2 weeks of having the idea.
Wow.
I was like, let's just test it and see what happens. With that testing phase, when I was thinking about it, I was like, well, what's the worst? Like, what is failure and what would be the worst thing that would happen? And I was like, well, failure would be that I launch this problem, I teach a bunch of people how to live more sustainably, but it doesn't actually work. And like, that isn't really a loss or a failure, and you're always going to learn so much more. And I feel like in Australia in particular, we're so scared of failure, and it's something so that's scared. Drummed into us.
Yep.
That it's like, if it's not going to work, if you're not going to be a billionaire, then don't even bother trying. And I feel like we're in this age where you can have a side hustle, you can work from home, you can do your own thing as well as your own job, or you can be a mum and then also do something. And yep. some months so are going to be true. Great, but then the kids are going to get sick 1 month and that doesn't matter. And I think that would be my biggest piece of advice, is if you are thinking about it, just give it a try, just see how it goes. Try, like when you start a business, you do it to the bare bones. You do everything. You budget like there's no tomorrow. You don't spend any money. You get your friends to help you. But I think that teaches you so much. And even Absolutely. If that business doesn't work, maybe the next one will.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, I love that's that so good.
And such a nice way to finish as well.
Yeah. Lottie, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. I really, truly believe that there are going to be so many listeners that are going to take so much from this episode. So I really appreciate it.
You're a very inspiring young woman.
Yes.
And we're so excited to continue to see the amazing things that you do for the environment and just in general.
Absolutely. We will put your Lottie's Instagram handle down in the show notes so you can check her out.
And the Banish one.
Of course, if there's also any questions that you have, I'm sure they can reach out to you. Or also if anyone wants to be a part of or sign themselves up for your volunteer program, please do so. But yeah, thank you so much, Lottie.
Thanks,
it was an
Lottie.
Absolute
that
pleasure.
Was awesome.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been so much fun chatting.